Familiar spirits have telepathic powers. And what I mean by that is they can speak into your mind as though you will now think that you are the one thinking. So there is that kind of warfare. It is through this kind of telepathic powers that the seed of bitterness can be sown. It is through these telepathic powers that deceptive visions can be given in your dream. It is through these telepathic powers that the seed of error can be sown in the heart of a man. And if you are not, I don't want to go too far there, because it's a subject. The warfare of the mind is a subject on its own. Are you with me? Now, I say, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, for this cause, it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. There's a reason why he made that statement. Because most of you have seen, most of you have seen manifestations of deception in the natural. Okay, let's move it to another side. Most of you must have seen accusations, wrong, false accusations in the natural. Do you realize that false accusations can come against you spiritually? Have you ever seen a situation where somebody slept and says the face of the person that carried the knife to kill me was pastor? Oh, you don't know. Okay, let's leave that. I want us to take time on that matter. That's Leviathan. That's spiritual accusation. You have forgotten that one of the jobs of Satan before the presence of God day and night is that he accuses you and he accuses me. That's his chief assignment. Accusation. And many times he accuses people in the spirit, and the people will think it's revelation. You are about to marry, and then the guy has come for introduction, and then suddenly they transmit something, and then the guy now sees you. You are dancing with joy like this. And because he's a spiritual babe, he doesn't know how to discern. He takes that to be a revelation. Somebody that has never had a revelation before now takes it. Hey, God spoke. And then that's how that destiny is truncated. Oh, you guys have not, you have not pastored for long. Oh, okay. Let's leave that. This is a terrible subject. This subject. He said, can you stand? Having done all, do you know how many ministers of God have been sent into his territory? From the 80s? You know, I've been around for some time. From the 80s. Praise and worship leaders that when they are singing, they are prophesying. They didn't die. I saw one in B division with star. Oh, he killed star. Marako Sile Kemo Sonte Ema. He was cooling off with star. But all church languages were still on his lips. But he was adding star to cool off. Fine. Please go to my verse. Let me not. We'll come back to the warfare of the mind. Alright? Then we'll do a detailed work. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You will notice that there is thought there. You notice that there's imagination there. Thought is thinking. Imagination, pictures. And these spirits can give pictures and they can generate thoughts. They have telepathic powers. I confronted the principality once as I went to do. I was much younger in the Lord then. Probably I was covered because he couldn't strike me. And he didn't open his mouth to speak to me. He spoke into my thoughts there. Yes. So it's an experience I have had many times. So I know when Satan is talking. Sometimes I'm praying for people to be delivered. The demons talk to me. Not because they are opening their mouth. It's through telepathic means. So let's leave that. Yes, my verse, quickly. Just leave it here. Verse 6. This is where I'm going. You see, and having in a readiness to what? To revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So you may not have authority to revenge several levels of disobediences finding expression in your environment if your obedience in certain quarters has not been fulfilled. So before we talk about spiritual warfare, we need to talk about the obediences that need to be fulfilled in order for you to have capacity to revenge every what? Disobedience. Hallelujah. A lady ran mad. And people were trying to help the lady to stabilize. And then suddenly a pastor comes and say, "You demon!" Then the demon say, "Kai, you can't cast me out." It was a moment. It was a strange moment. All kinds of things happened. And we were taken aback. There were obediences that have not been fulfilled. And then he thought that because they ordained him in the morning, people saw the ordination. That ordination was valid in the realm of the spirit. Having not fulfilled what? Obediences. The demons felt so disgusted that that person will number among the people that claim to have the capacity to cast. In fact, as the experiment went on, the demon was almost going prophetic to unveil. So when the pastor saw that, he now found a way of miracle. You know, tongues can be an escape formula. You can just say, "My camo say," and now so that you will not speak exit tongues. We need to find out the obedience that must be fulfilled. Hallelujah. He spoke exit tongues. So before finally, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, there are several matters that were mentioned, which are matters in the which our obedience must be fulfilled before we have the stature to revenge every disobedience. So Ephesians chapter 6 is my scripture for the evening, and I'd like us to turn our Bibles. Hallelujah. It's a long school. Time is not our friend. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Hallelujah. He said, "Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." He said, "Honor your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with promise." Why? "That it may be well." "That it may be well with you, and that your days might be long." That's number one. Okay, we'll go on. Number two. Let me explain number one a little. As far as this spiritual man is concerned, you know, your father may not be born again. Your mother may not be born again. Your father may be an idol worshiper, but it doesn't exempt you from honor your father and your mother. For instance, my dad is late. If my mom is speaking about a matter, I know I have more details on that matter than she does. For instance, it's in the spirit of honor for me to allow her to say her mind first. When you finish discharging, I may say, "Okay, let's go and sleep on this matter." It's not as if I don't have what to say. Then tomorrow morning, and I say, "You know that matter you raised, have you thought of this aspect?" "Why?" "So I didn't think so. This aspect and that aspect." The reason why I'm comporting myself is because I have a commandment from God to honor her. And we don't need to be in the same religion. It doesn't matter how many successful children she has. I have a responsibility to make sure that she's fed. And I do that independent of any other thing anybody does. And it doesn't matter how small. But the idea, he didn't say feed her. He said, the idea is what? No matter how small, let what you are doing, let it reflect in her heart as honor. He said, when you do this, there are two things that are in view. It will be well with you. You know, when you are in battle, your prayer point is, "May it be well." He's not telling you one of the things that will make you vulnerable. Meanwhile, you will not know that you are faulting in this regard until you start fighting. You know, the emphasis first is to ensure that we survive the battle. He said that your days may be long. There are several deliberate things you need to do to guarantee long life, which is one of the things that may not be in view if you are in battle without fulfilling the obediences that accompany. Go back to that your old mother that you have rejected because you say she used to fly in the night. Go back there and call her. Sit her down. Look. Just with her. And then when she's tired, give her money. Hey! The last time I went, my mother said, "If it is this breast that you drank, nothing will be able to bring you down. I don't know how I got to that level, but I got there. Second scripture. The servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Hallelujah. Now, if you see, these two scriptures are similar, because the emphasis in these two scriptures is that if you are going to participate in warfare, you must ensure that every authority structure that you are under, you are accurately under that structure. That's the first thing. Now, you see, when we were doing Bible study yesterday, on Wednesday, I did not show you people some things in those scriptures because I still wanted to use them today. So I exempted some emphasis. You know, when the devil came to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Right? What the devil meant was, we've been hearing one title, Son of God, Son of God. We don't even believe that there's any title like that. And we heard you are the one that carries that title. Well, there's an easy way for you to prove it. Eh? I hear you've been going around, says Son of God. See, we don't even believe that there's anything. But you can show us so that we could know that there's something like that. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones, make them bread. Remember, this is not a class test. It's not a cerebral test. This is a spirit test. You know, the devil had to wait for a long time in order for him to find a common ground of a level playing field. It was when Jesus became hungry. There was an appetite that had to be ministered to. And then the devil came and then ignited a discussion based on that appetite. If that appetite were not available, was not crying for ministration, the devil will have to wait a little longer to find an appetite that is crying for ministration before the discussion will start. He said, okay, you have a need. You are hungry. Here are stones. And you have a strange title that we don't even acknowledge. So if you are the Son of God, turn these stones, make them bread. And the temptation in this case, are you with me? The temptation here is that the devil wanted Jesus to act outside of the authority of the Father. Just like Jesus is our life. He's the one that we are serving. He's the one that we bow to. He's our God. He's our life. Right? He's the one that supplies grace. He's the one that supplies capacity, anointing, so that I can do what I'm doing. It is Jesus that is the source of every form of service in the kingdom. Are you with me? Now, but it was the Father that was Jesus' life. Just like Jesus, the Christ is our life today. So everything that Jesus did was what he saw the Father do. And that's why Jesus said there was no need for you to crave to see the Father if you have seen him. I'm his theater. I've expressed. If you meet him personally, you will not even be able to relate with the person you have met. But in me, you can see a theater that is expressing the Father. Just those words I spoke were not mine. What they were his. This person I healed, it was not me. It was him that healed through me. I'm just a vessel and a theater carrying him around from place to place. So Jesus' life was his alignment with the Father. If he loses alignment with the Father, he becomes vulnerable. So the temptation was to get Jesus to carry out an activity that was not authorized by the Father. That was what it was all about. And the basis of him doing that non-authorized show of power would have been vainglory, because I have something to show. As long as you feel you have something to show, you have a compatibility with the devil. You know, these days, when pastors are dedicated on the altar, are you with me? They are not in ministry to serve Jesus. They are there to succeed. You know, these are two different things. What are they doing there? To succeed. So he will tell you how that is an intercontinental ballistic missile that has the potency of taking two cities. It's not whether Jesus is taking cities. No, he is not concerned. He in himself is a photon by himself that can take things, that can do things. Such a person doesn't last on the field of warfare. And he can speak in tongues loud and yet die. So if you don't know how to relate with authority structure, this one will know you. Nobody sent you. And any time that you are walking on a journey of your own devising, you make yourself a prey. That journey that Elijah went, when he was running away from Jezebel, that he went and slept under a juniper tree, the Bible says he went by himself. Another translation says he went on a journey of his own devising. It was him that designed the journey. He sent himself. Those are the kind of journeys that prophets go and never come back home. Because the devil has been able to get them to a point where they feel there is something to prove, where they feel they need to act, where they are intimidated out of alignment. We saw the emphasis, the priority of the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is concerned about ability, about power, about things that can be done. Turn these stones into the bread. But the kingdom of light is concerned about authority, about clearance. About clearance, about authority. So if you are not concerned about clearance, you will do something that you are not cleared to do. You know, one pastor here left me. Why did he leave me? He said, I'm not ambitious enough. That he went to Abuja and came back and found out that this anointing we are giving for free can be sold. It can be monetized. Hallelujah. We can sell prophecy. We can sell healing. We can sell word of knowledge. Don't give the thing. Just say, okay, there's somebody with an issue like this. See me in the office. And you monetize it. So the young boy was trying to teach me how to do ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anytime, this is my own trademark. Anytime we ask, can it be done without asking, should it be done, we are falling. God will give you anointing and he will not allow you to use it. One day, I was so anointed, he said, today, don't lay hands. I said, okay, if you didn't want me to lay hands, why did you bring this thing? Meekness is the ability to stay obedient under power, with great investment of power. The ability to remain positive under pressure, and to remain calm under power. Because many times, God will give you things, and then he will see whether you go in line with the ability principle, or with the order. Authority principle. If you can follow him and leave the power that day, you have won more authority. Because Jesus modeled the principle of authority by modeling the life of obedience. Adam modeled the life of rebellion. And God cannot build anything with the principle of rebellion. And that's why Jesus came and modeled the principle of obedience, which is the principle that is the operating system in the kingdom of light. Now, if we are not yet good students in the way of obedience and functioning under authority, we are still vulnerable. So the two things we see here, we see children, fathers. We see servants, masters, authority, operating accurately under authority. There's a way I can operate. Are you with me? And I can be doing eye service. And my heart is far. People will not know, but it's when you go into warfare. You will know that you have no shield. Your state of handicap will not be revealed. It is warfare that will reveal it. So, you see, Paul now says, let us find out, first and foremost, if you can survive the war before we teach you how to fight it. Are you there? All right. Now, just in case somebody say in the congregation, is it only people under authority that need to adjust? What are the people in authority? There is a balance for that. Verse 9 says, and ye masters, do the same things unto them for bearing threatening. Don't use the principles of terrorism as, hallelujah. Come on, come. Don't terrorize. He said, no. If you need to intimidate people to get them to do things, you have crossed from light. You are using principles of witchcraft. You see, you can be born again. Hallelujah. Amen. I know you don't, my teaching, I don't know. People say my, okay. You can be born again
And you can be using principles from the kingdom of darkness. What you are doing is that you are serving the devil.
Every principle is traced to a spirit. Every principle. There's a spirit behind it. How many of you have read that book before? 48 Laws of Power. You have read it? I didn't have enough spirit to read it. Didn't have enough spirit to read it. Now listen. I know a pastor. I know a pastor that read that book and began to use that book as the wisdom to power his ministry, to drive his ministry. 48 Laws of Power will say, if two people in your establishment are fighting, don't separate them. Just make sure that they are all reporting to you at different times about the fight. It means they'll be loyal to you, they'll be disloyal to themselves, and then the enterprise will be stronger. That's an amoral principle. That principle is not of God. So people were running ministry with amoral principles. And they were expecting that the results that we get are results that God can give. That's fallacy. They became servants of the devil. The spirit of witchcraft started having an abode in the canopy of the gospel. If you are very sensitive and you go to some places, you will know witchcraft is here. Because of the principles that have been used. He said you don't need to threaten. No. So you see, it gives masters, people that are in authority, gives them regulations. These are regulatory principles for masters. Are you with me? He said, knowing that your master also is in what?
Heaven.
So you that you are master, it is a privilege that your father, who is your master in heaven, has given to you to model his values. It's a great privilege that is granted unto anyone that is in authority. To model, just in case you make it and you become a counselor. You make it and you become an assembly member. Know that your master, because you are not an unbeliever. Know that your master, it doesn't matter what the entire fold of lawmakers believe. No, it's better for you to be an island. And make sure that your life makes your convictions known. A day will come when trouble erupts. They will look for you. And meanwhile, I'm not asking you to do what I've not done in the service. Yes. Yes. Millions of naira that I rejected. Meanwhile, then they stole my car in Lagos. Millions. I would have come home. Maybe only the governor would have been able to ride the kind of car I ride. And that's not, I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, fact. I had the opportunity to, I trekked throughout. I served in the most notorious places. Places that my colleagues will never want to go. Because the first one that went there had a 25 million scam. And EFCC was on the run everywhere. There were people could not sleep. The executives could not sleep. So they say, is there no trustworthy man in this place? They say he's on leave. He's on leave? They called me from leave. Where are you? I say, I'm on leave. We are not saying, what season are you? We are saying, that was when my Oga started sleeping. They took my seat to the shrine and brought it back on Sunday night. I didn't sit on it for 2 weeks. They called me and said, well, yeah, the charm expired before I started using it. They now asked me, which society have you? Are you? Because you must be in society. Yeah. So they had concluded that they're society. So which one now? Which one? You know, they were expecting me to say Ogboni because in legislative, demonic legislative society, Ogboni is number one. I know how many times my seat had. The great one would say, no, not that seat. Not that seat. There was a time I had to go outside, the bench outside. I was using it as official. They said, he's in a society. We shut down corruption in that place till today. That place is closed down till now that I'm talking to you. I can't go far. I would have resigned. The money would have been so much that I would have just said, all right. Sorry, thank you for the opportunity. Then I'll come back home and say, I know the answer. That kind of preaching that you will bone up first for about 25 minutes. You are frowning. Then you say, can you see this shoe? It is 15,000. You will get there. I've seen people with fat bellies and when they met Satan, I knew that if I take that, that's when you will see dollars. Anyhow, dollars. Dollars, dollars. I said, no, I didn't work for this one. There was one deal they did. I don't know some people. The strange deal. And our colleague there had already went to bargain his own portion. And then when he saw the kind of people, he knew that they can kill him offshore. So he ran away and said, Pastor, 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 help me, help me, help me, help me. I came there 7 p.m. in the night. They had already concluded the thing. Holy Ghost said, check here, check here, check here. I said, well, bring that instrument, bring the instrument. They said, now who be this one again? When we checked it, we had 4 million 300 and something something liters of petrol. That time that petrol was scarce, 4 million was. I said, let's quantify this thing I'm seeing. Let's quantify it. It turned out to become 4 million. That's what they wanted to say. They would have just driven that vessel offshore. Smaller boats will pick it up and give dollars. Most of your stations here can't pick 4 million liters. You can't. No station here has holding capacity for 4 million. Not even NNPC. People were driving boats in the night, 2 a.m. dollar. They drive. They were not afraid that they can die in the river. That Mami Water can come out. And if you have not fulfilled the obedience, you will not be able to revenge the disobedience. Those were the days. You know, when I came back offshore, it was 11:30. 11:30. They now put one rope for me to die. The rope, you will not understand this. The rope, they did it like this so that when you are going, they will touch it. You are going down. And unfortunately for them, it was not me that went down first. The person that went down was a robber. A robber. May the Lord give you understanding. I was the one that held his bag. He went like this. I held his bag. It was his bag that I held that made him come down. Me, because of fasting, even the rope, they turned like this. I climbed like cat. The next day, my name was everywhere. That Kai, righteous man, righteous. But you see, before the people knew it, heaven had already taken record. One man came. The next day, I said, are you there? One, boom. Hey, we lock you up. I looked at him. I said, I was about to curse you. Say, I'm going to report to. I said, if you come back, I'll curse you. I have powers beyond this office. He ran away. Another one came and begged and begged. I said, see me. Oh, oh. Where did he finish? I said, sorry. My marching orders are different, but I like your music. At the end of the day, the news spread. There is no man like this man. I was not doing it for Nigeria. I was doing it because of my country. My country. My country. My country. Because you need to fulfill your obedience quota before you can what? So in the eyes of heaven, the matter of authority and relating to it accurately is very important. So I want to open a verse of scripture quickly and show you a few things that Jesus said about authority. Luke chapter 1 from verse 1. Oh, I've lost my scripture. Okay, let me try and get it back. Luke chapter 7, 7 verse 1 to 8. Please help me. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. You know, the guy didn't go himself. The guy went to the elders and said, please help me talk to Jesus. And when he heard, okay, go on, next verse. For he, then Jesus went with them. Is that four? Oh my. We are mixed up here. So let me get back to my own Bible. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. That is, we're trying to justify how that guy was actually worthy for that kind of mercy. For he loveth our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not too far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither ought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Now, verse 8 is the explanation for his faith, because Jesus said, I've never seen this kind of faith. No, not in Israel. But verse 8 is the explanation for the kind of faith that the guy had. This is the secret of his manner of faith. He said, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Next verse. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I have not found. How many of you were here when I talked about the components of faith? The components of faith. Oh, we're not here. Components of faith that we're identifying that was a component of faith was knowledge. The Bible says, for Abraham knew that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. There was a knowledge component in his faith element. All right? So this guy's faith was rooted in an understanding. The understanding that his faith was rooted in was the understanding of authority. He said, I am a man that is set under authority. I'm under a higher authority. And I'm accurate with that higher authority. And because I'm accurate with that higher authority, I also have authority to dispense. So I can tell this soldier, you go there. And he will go. Great. I'm accurate with the authority under which I stand. So because of that, I have authority to wield, I have authority to dole out. So if you are not accurate under the authority which you stand, you will find out some insufficiencies in the exercise of your own authority. The man was saying, Jesus, I've seen you minister before. And you'd give commands like, get out of him. And I know that there are legions of personalities that follow you, that obey you. And when you give an instruction, they go there. And they make it come to pass. I've seen your style of ministration. It is not too different from what we do in the military. I know that there are beings under you. There are creatures under you. And they take your words. And they ensure that those words come to pass. They fight on your behalf. They discomfit demons. When you give the instruction, they travel. I know, I see the way you do it is the same way we do it in the military. And the reason why I know that your authority is functional is because there is another authority under which you are standing. That is how I operate. So I know that distance is not a challenge for you. Anytime, anywhere that you can speak the word, you have functionaries to travel with it and to make it come to pass. So distance, you don't need to come. His faith was rooted in what? In an understanding. But in trying to unveil that, he touched the issue of authority. The only way I can operate under in power, in authority. Meanwhile, you know, how many of you were in the lecture when I taught the difference between authority and power? When you find Jesus in his healing meetings, all right, you are going to see him casting out devils. Meanwhile, he called it healing meeting. But you will see him casting out devils. The reason is because those devils were responsible for the sickness. What it takes to cast a devil is authority. There are several ailments that as a result of the fact that you were exposed to diseases, to bacteria, you get that?
For those ones, you need the gift of healing. If the gift of healing flows into that person's body, the energy of the gift of healing will kill the bacteria. Like this guy, this South African evangelist, that the first time Ebola came out, it was in South Africa. This evangelist that was preaching there. Those days, people that were victims of Ebola, they put them on a ship and they put them off land. He was the only one that could go there without that garment. John G. Lake. And minister to people with Ebola and get them healed. And when they bring them back, they screen them and they are negative. So they now asked him, how was he doing it? It was a scripture that was transfused into his spirit. For the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and the law of death. That was the scripture that entered the spirit. And then he now told the doctors to follow him. He took somebody that had Ebola. He put his hand on him. They checked under the microscope. Ebola was there. Then he prayed. And then he put the hand again. And all the viruses died. He said the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus as what has set us free from the law of sin and death. That guy, through that scripture, had authority over Ebola. The real name is the angel of death. That's the real name. When an issue requires the displacement of a spirit being in a demonic realm, and you are going to contend with a demonic entity, first of all, check that your alignment with your own authority base is intact. Because if you find a preacher contend with a witch, and the witch defeats the preacher, it means that the witch is more submissive to Satan than the preacher is to Jesus.
Oh my.
Hallelujah. So if they can bring $30,000 and you fall for it and disobey Jesus, one, the thing that you are negotiating is your authority profile. It means you don't like authority. That means in the day of warfare, I don't have time to read that scripture. The Bible speaks about an evil day. Ilakoma. We'll talk about that tomorrow. The evil day. Only men that are situated adequately under authority can survive the evil day. This evil day. Well, tomorrow. Let's not go into that matter. Hallelujah. So, you see, you need to be under authority for you to be able to dispense authority. So, I cannot break my covenant with Jesus, because if I break my connection with Jesus, I will lose the ability to revenge disobediences. So, for a man that wants to walk in the authority of God, his first loyalty must be to Jesus, not to the congregation. If as a prophet, people can make you lie, if you are not loyal to Jesus, they will come with problem, come and they will put pressure, and they will be forcing you to say something. And then they will now put you in bad light with Jesus that sent you. So if you are concerned about congregation, you are likely to even go to hell. Because you would have caused damage. But if it's Jesus, your first audience is Jesus, and you want to be in alignment with Jesus, oh my. I know something about authority. Alright? You see, if you begin to win souls, then you win more authority to win more souls. If you begin to cast out devils, then you win more authority to cast more devils. Yes, your authority level can increase. Those days when I pray, eh? Okay, no, I can't tell you this. This is not for public consumption. I would have told you the kind of things I used to hear from God those days. But the one he said not too long is different. He said something he never said before. And the reason why he's saying that is because the authority level has increased. Hallelujah. You win more if you are walking in obedience and discharging his will. You win more authority. You win more authority. So you must be a man that has the capacity, that has stayed under government for a long time, for you to have the capacity to deal with some kind of demons and some kind of devils. Because you win more authority by your loyalty to the Christ. My last scripture before we close.
Hallelujah. My last scripture. Where is my man? Yeah. My last scripture. My last scripture will be 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm just trying to lay the foundation. By tomorrow, we will proceed. Hallelujah. We'll proceed. And then on Sunday, we will fight. As we fight, because then I would have done an elaborate teaching about the fighting aspect, which is very easy, and the things to expect when you fight, and the kind of fight that warfare is. Because you can be engaged in some kind of fight, it's not warfare. There's a specific kind of fight that warfare is. Right? So when you are engaging in that fight, there are some expectations that you must have, and there's a way God empowers you to do that kind of business. Hallelujah. And so there are things to expect. Reinforcements that you need to expect, that God empowers you with to make you efficient in the field of war. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them unto you. But I would have you know the revelation that this man had, for which he wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is in verse 3. And that revelation is what we call the chain of command. Are you with me? The what? Please don't forget that. Meanwhile, in the last 165 years in the body of Christ, in theology, this scripture has been, can you just leave the scripture? Just leave it there. This scripture has been a major scripture of controversy in the body of Christ, but it is quite easy to see the spirit of this scripture. The first thing that Paul says is, be ye followers of me, as I am a follower of Christ. Can you see? Paul's authority was Jesus. The reason why he had authority that people could follow him was because he was a follower of Jesus. Are you getting the picture here? So there's a big umbrella. That big umbrella is Jesus. Then the umbrella stick, Paul was holding it. And Paul himself was an umbrella. And many people were under him. The people that were under him, taking instructions from him, working with him in ministry, they were under the covering that his own loyalty to Jesus was making available. Are you with me? I say, are you with me? So, wait. Don't run away. We need to do this matter once and for all. Now, this is the matter. As long as Paul was aligned to Jesus, the people that were following him were secure. I will show you when Paul was about to die in the book of Acts of the Apostles. He said, I know that when I'm taken away, ravenous wolves shall come, not sparing the flock. Do you realize that as long as Paul was there, those wolves, they knew the way, but they will never come, because there was a covering. The defenses and the power of darkness was not likely to prosper as long as Paul was in alignment. The reason why some of us had opportunities to fornicate even with people of other countries and will never do it is because I know that people's lives are hanging on my obedience to Jesus. If it were only me, maybe we can trade. Hallelujah. But it has gone beyond. That's the business. That's the heart of a genuine man of God. You fight to stay in alignment with Jesus, because that is the only basis upon which people can follow you, follow your leadership, and find their destiny. So, can you see that's the first verse? Because the subject of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is submission and covering. That's the subject. What did I say? Submission and what? And covering. All right.
So let us see. This was the revelation that he had. Verse 3. He said, but I would have you know. It means that the believers did not know this. This one just came from the Lord now. So he added it and said, you don't know this one. I want to show you something. And what was he trying to show them? He said, the head of every man. See, don't. Okay. How I wish I had a board. Can you still imagine?
Yes, sir.
This picture? Jesus, the big umbrella. Then we have Paul, who is another umbrella to other people. His ministry, his calling, the grace on him, the anointing on him, was going to function as an umbrella for other people. His job was to make sure that he was linked to Christ. He received instructions for Christ. Are you with me? So Christ was his own covering. Are you there? Christ was what? His own covering. I hope you know, in the New Testament, in New Testament ministry, not everybody has a pioneering call. Not everybody. In fact, true pioneers are very few. Very, very few. God's administration of the cross in terms of administering the waters of sacrifice and death must have played a great role on your life. God will pluck you from when you are small and begin to choke you with visions, choke you with revelations. He will follow your life closely because you need to be a certain kind of man. He's raising you as an umbrella. That's not what he does lightly. Today, everybody is a general overseer today. The grace upon some people is not sufficient for them to oversee, to bring cover. And I speak, are you with me? I speak in terms of ordination. The grace upon some people is not sufficient for them to provide cover. Probably because they were called to work with other people. And so God will not give them special grace for covering. So if that guy now leaves the original purpose of God for him and then says, me and this guy were classmates now. He's doing well. I can do well. And then he now goes on a journey of his own devising. And everybody under him is exposed. Do you understand that? Now, so we see a chain of command. So for Paul, his own covering or his head, that word head there, so add hardship to it is headship. The principle of headship, not this head, but headship. The head of every man, just like for Paul, he found his destiny. Are you with me? And his own head, he's covered by Christ. It means it's Christ that gives him direction. It's Christ that gives him counsel. It's Christ that gives him instruction. It's Christ that gives him wisdom. The wisdom that is coming from Christ that is responsible for the decisions he takes, for which the ministry now runs. In which the ministry runs. Do you get that? So, headship. His own head is Christ. So, the head of every man. You know, if you now have a family, the Bible says for this purpose, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and he shall what? Reduce that volume. Reduce that volume. A man shall leave what? His father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife. Do you realize that in the natural, it is the woman that leaves to cleave to the man? She throws away her name, her family name, and then bears the man's family name. But the Bible says a man leaves. What's the meaning of that? He leaves the government of his father and mother, and then he forms another government, him and his wife. Are you here? On your wedding day, on your wedding day, when you cleave to that woman and say, I do, she say, I do. From that day, your father, earthly father, has lost the capacity of being your headship. Because now you are responsible as a man to link up with Jesus. He becomes your head and he gives you instructions as to how you order that family. So the Bible says that every man praying or prophesying and his head is covered. That means he has another covering apart from Christ. Another covering, maybe his father is in that position, giving him advice, Say, when a woman does this thing to you, what you do is that, this one that my mothers are looking at me. It seems, okay, let me stop. Let me stop that. Hallelujah. When a woman, when he does this to you, what you will do first is that you will lock your bedroom and then you go to the parlor, look for a newspaper and pretend as if you are reading. If she venture comes and tries to find out, that's when you ignite it. You see, are you following? Now, you see, he has another covering. So he's getting insight from another source, which is not Christ. In that instance, what the man is doing is that he's dishonoring Jesus, who is the legitimate personality that should bring that influence to him. You get that? Now, that scripture is talking about headship, not about head tie. Because the Bible says, if a woman is praying or prophesying and her head is uncovered, the husband is supposed to be her head. But she decides not to submit to the husband. She removes that covering. She is dishonoring her husband. Do you get the gist? Oh, you are not getting the gist. But do you realize that this fracture and the implication of this fracture of either being covered or uncovered, as the case may be, will not be obvious until the people begin to pray or to prophesy? When they enter into the spirit realm, then their error in the fracture of alignment in authority will be recalled. You can be disobeying your husband and it will not be obvious. You will not suffer. But the day you go to church and you say, Mereke Suma, and you appear in the spirit realm, demons know how the head of a rebel looks like. So that's the scripture that people read and people felt what it was saying was head tie. I know many women that tie the ear and are still rebellious to the husband. Paul established the first verse of that scripture to tell you the trend, the idea, the message. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And then the verse 3, which is the compendium of revelation he received, was the chain of command. The head of the woman is the man. The head of the man is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. Just in case you don't know how to relate with your head, Jesus' example in the book of John and his father will give you an insight on how he depended on his father for direction. Just read John. You will see that he could not do anything except by his father. This error of violating authority will not be obvious until you decide to do a spiritual thing. When you begin to pray, because in prayer you are releasing to God, in prophecy you are receiving from God. Try that, then demons will take note that this person that is prophesying, he doesn't recognize the authority of his husband. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, it is very easy in the natural for you to disregard that and think you are still okay because you are anointed. Oh, you are not with me. Because what? The anointing is still flowing. That anointing that is still flowing is so that you can be fully snared. I know you won't like my message. Hallelujah. One day I was invited to go preach somewhere. And I had to ask questions. I said, okay, how is the ministry? I said, yes, wonderful. It's a big ministry. God is moving. God is... I said, okay, all right. It's okay. Give me more insight. They say the pioneer of the ministry is a woman. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a woman pioneering a ministry. Right? However, if a woman pioneers a ministry, we'll now check another thing. The two people that she's operating under. Husband and probably pastor. Are you with me? Because the way the woman was created, the woman can never maximize her potential in God except she's undercover. Never. That's why the word widow in Greek means uncovered.
So I had to investigate. Because even if your husband is not called, and your husband say, I release you. Even if he doesn't mean it, that one heaven with recording, you are released. If it takes 12 years for you to get that from that unbeliever husband, wait for that 12 years. The moment you get it, when you appear in the spirit, you are in order. Secondly, we need to trace who raised the woman. Whether in pioneering that ministry, she has the blessing of the person that raised her. So those are the two things I investigate if it's a woman that is pioneering the ministry that invites me. So when I investigated the husband's side, I saw that in the home, the woman has, if she buys television, she will write her name on it. I say, this is. So in that family, there are properties that belong to the man and properties that belong to the woman. You are not following me. And meanwhile, she's anointed. But she's operating in error. In the day of battle, the type of battle that took place in Ramah that made Rachel to weep for her children. When I will show you the War of Thrones in the Bible, I will show you this weekend. The casualties of those kind of wars are those kind of women that are not in alignment. When terrible principalities roam the city, they can shake the land, even shake people that are in order. But the best they can do to people that are in order is just shake them a little. But the people that fall are people that are not in alignment. So because of that, I did not honor that invitation. And the woman was very angry, but that is me. I don't want to go somewhere and you stand on a particular pulpit, and when you come down, you have lost your armor. Because you can go to the altar of an Ezemo. When you come back, your ability to see has been blotted out. The seer's grace is lifted. Because the altar you stood on sees by a different spirit. So with these days, we pray very well and investigate before we go for meeting. Because you'll find places that your heaven does not recognize. People that took off like tornado. The reason why they pioneered ministry was because they put them under discipline. So he took off. Instead of him to serve the discipline and be reinstated, he doesn't know authority. He took off and went and started ministry on anointing. Meanwhile, the reason why they are disciplining him is that he committed adultery. And it's in the name of the Lord. The first thing we need to check is, do you have the ability to survive? Can you stand at the end of the engagement? That's Paul's emphasis. Because many have been deleted. Many have been cut short. Many have been killed. You see, the error will not be obvious until the person decides to what? Pray or what? Prophesy. That's where I want to end this night. If God helps us, I will show you how God fights. What he does. Territorially. The game of thrones. I will show you how it happens. If he helps us this weekend. I don't know how much utterance will come tomorrow. Because tomorrow we need to do a serious work. And then on Sunday, we'll be ready to fight. Be ready to fight. Things will come down. If all of us can realign ourselves before Sunday. Oh yeah. The battle is easy. The fighting is easy. The skills, you can develop it easily and bring down powers and bring down princes. The ones that have bedeviled your family for 25 years, you can bring them down. I'll tell you the things I have seen. I tell you the things that I've handled. I was 36 years old when I visited, by instruction, a shrine. The Ezemo just finished his work and he was singing and was singing. And then he was by leading. I was led. Not because I wanted to show people that I had power, but I was led to go there. So as I was coming, he now asked, "Who are you?" I said, "I come in peace. Come in peace." So if you come in peace, why are you looking so strange like this? I say, Does peace have a look? Is there a look that is called peace? What he was trying to explain was that the demons working with him began to retreat when I started coming. He started feeling naked. And then he now tried to intimidate me. That don't move again. If you move, you'll fall down. I said, if you raise that hand again, I will curse it. The man now. And I move. I moved. They move. He said, I should not move. I moved. But he could not raise the hand again because I told him, if you raise it again, I will curse it. He now kept it down. He kept it down. I said, we can use this your seat. We can use it. So we now sat there. Before I could unveil my message to him, I saw 7 old men. I don't know where they came from. So those ones, I said, you people can stand and you hear us. Me and the other, we were sitting there. The other ones stood. And I continued my message. That scripture in the book of Luke chapter 2, where that Simeon prophesied about Jesus. He said, the light to lighten the Gentiles, that they rise. He said, this child shall be for the rise and the fall of men. Huh? That's the scripture I use. It's a light to lighten the Gentiles. I began to tell him about the Gentiles, the way of the Gentiles. That this is Gentile way. But there is a prophecy that a light someday will come and lighten such as a what? Gentile. Then we began to talk, And then a word of knowledge came. I told the Baba, I said, you have a box under your bed where you kept power. But this chest pain, your lungs is drying up for 13 years and your power cannot kill it. He said, "Kai, my son, it's true. It's true." So I knew my gospel was moving. I led all those old babas to Christ and they renounced the altar. Yes, they renounced that altar. That day. So I've gone that far. I believe my God enough to go to the gate of darkness because he spoke to me. And even though it was 8 against 1, I prevailed. There is a day where numbers will count for nothing. Paul says that an idol, we know that an idol is nothing. That's what Paul said. That's enough for me. An idol is what? That means I can carry a combo. I carry it. If you have one there that is you are afraid, call me. That's my job. I carry it. Because Paul said an idol is nothing. It's nothing. Tonight we are going to pray for 5 minutes. Not warfare prayer. Prayers of alignment and dedication. For some of you, God was calling you to an inner place. An inner chamber experience. The place where his shadow is casted upon men. Shadow that becomes a canopy. So that as they travel in daylight, that shadow covers. But many of you broke the rules that keeps a man pegged in secret quarters. There is an invitation for a deeper place. An invitation. I remember, I think it's 19 years ago. One day we prayed in our prayer room on campus. And we said, "Kai, no. Let's go and preach the gospel." Do you know we preached the gospel from Benin State University to Wadata? By the time we reached Wadata with the gospel, we were there by 9 p.m. And we preached to a Muslim man. And the man came and said, there is an idol in his house that he paid rent in before he saw the idol. He has respected it, he has avoided it. That if what you are preaching has power to take that idol, you will be. I say, just idol. Paul said, what? An idol is. So I went there and I plucked it. Big idol. Then I said,
Is this? I always ask a question. These unbelievers, do they fall sick? Eh? They fall sick. Do they need direction? They do. Do they need to be delivered? It means our gospel is still relevant. Yes, it is still relevant. In the hospital, I went there. My uncle is a chronic Islamist. And he was sick. So I came. I sent my mom to him. That, sorry, my son is a pastor. He prays in the name of Jesus. Do you accept prayer in the name of Jesus? This is a chronic Muslim. He say he accept Quran prayer. He accept Jesus prayer. He accept, because he wants to live. Hey, kumenekula. If they still fall sick, our gospel is irrelevant. Because Jesus said, heal the sick. He didn't say pray for the sick to be healed. He said heal them. If your prayer does not produce that healing, it means there's something you need to add to the prayer so that the prayer can heal. The result of what you should do is heal the sick. I prayed for the guy and he came back to his feet. Yes, my uncle. Oh, my uncle was deaf at the age of 7. And he is now 46, 64. It was when I was preaching in the village, his ear opened. Never been to Protestant church. That day he came to the altar and he gave his life to God. Do they still fall sick? Then our gospel is still relevant. But the people that will carry it is the challenge now. There is that inner place. He calls this generation. He calls our nation to a place where it all began, so that he can whisper afresh into your heart and administer the confidence that is required for you to turn the tables. Tonight, you pray in your heart a prayer of dedication. Look upon me with mercy. Let my prayers and my priesthood become the reason why you bring redemption to my family. The voice of darkness has lingered for too long. Now we ask, oh God, that you make a show of your grace. Oh, that my vessel might be pleasing sufficiently in your sight, so that I and the prayers I utter will become the reason that you have to do your good will in the midst of my family. God, we call upon you. We surrender. We repent for straying. We repent for refusing to go deep enough. And tonight we say, oh God, in the name of Jesus, have mercy. Let the reproach that has transferred from one generation to another generation, let it be stopped because of your presence, your covenant on my life. I ask, oh God, that you open a new chapter, a new day, a new season. Komasila habraila. Kumbre masiko skebre hevedale. Songabara nasiko bahaita. Mekonde leto sokomani brisa mahaila.